Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Truth in God's Word Radio, coming to you from North Central West Virginia. Stay tuned while we expound on God's Word. Jesus said, "Continue in my Word, then you will be my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, here's your host, Pastor Jim Newsom.
Yes, good morning. This is Pastor Jim Newsom, and this is Truth in God's Word. It's 8 a.m. in Central West Virginia. It's January 18th, 2016. I want to speak today to you about a very important subject. Persecution is coming. We need to know that if you already don't. Coming to America, we see in the Middle East a lot of things going on. Christians, our brothers and sisters in the Middle East for ages have been under the hand of tyranny, of severe persecution. We have learned of the release of Pastor Saeed Abedini from a cruel Iranian prison who went through unspeakable tortures for the cause of Christ. And do we actually think that we're any better? And I know it's not a very pleasant subject, and certainly not one that the American church wants to hear because of our, for the most part, our immunity sometimes and our, distance from persecution. But it's coming to America, and it'll, of course, I believe, come in degrees. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:12-13, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Matthew 24:9-12 says that they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. The Bible declares the persecution will come for the word's sake. In Mark 4:17, Jesus speaking of the parable of the sower and the seed, he says, when the seed is sowed and they have no root in themselves, he says, so endure but for a time. After, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are defended or they are moved from their faith. The Bible declares that without faith it's impossible to please God. Jesus said, when I come back to the earth, will I find any faith in the earth? The Word of God declares, think it not strange of the fiery trials in which you are tried. It's often been said, if we were put on trial for being accused of being a Christian, would they have enough evidence to convict us? This man of God, Saeed Abedini, who has recently been released, went through tortures in an Iranian prison simply because he believed in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He stood for him. Probably all he had to do was renounce the name of Jesus and they would let him go home to his wife and his family. But he refused to denounce the Word of God. He refused to denounce the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Word of God declares that if you deny me, Matthew 10:23, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. The Bible declares that perilous times are coming on the face of the earth where it's going to be difficult at times to be a Christian. Because the world hates Christianity. The world hates the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the question remains, are we going to be victims of persecution? Now, the only way that we can be a victim, I don't believe we can be a victim, But there'll be a way that we can avoid persecution. It'll be the easiest thing in the world to do, and that is just deny Jesus. When they ask you, will you deny the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And, you know, you say, well, you're getting too radical. You know, it could be done at gunpoint. It could be under the threatenings of your family. And I know people don't want to hear this, but it is coming. It is coming to America. And, you know, you say, I don't want to talk about it. You're scaring me. You're scaring my children. Listen, we need to wake up to reality that persecution is coming. There is a system out there that hates Christianity. They hate the name of Jesus Christ. They do anything to defame and blaspheme the name of Jesus. They hate the Messiah. They hate the Savior of the world. They hate his gospel. They hate his truth. The Bible declares they go about deceiving and being deceived. So nothing sorts out true disciples of Jesus Christ like persecution. We found the church at the beginning of the church after the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. The Word of God said they stayed in one area, in the holy city. But persecution came and they had to be spread abroad. They had to run for their lives. They had to go underground many times. This is serious. This is serious. And through persecution, the church is sifted. And what's going to happen is the tares are going to be separated from the wheat. Those that are real will survive. Now, I don't know to what degree God is going to allow the church to be persecuted, but the church is already persecuted. Many say, well, I believe that these things will not touch us. I do believe we're not appointed unto the wrath of God, which will happen during the 7-year tribulation. But the Word of God says, in this world you will have tests and you will have trials. But the Word of God declares, Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome this world. So the trying of our faith is coming. It is already here. We can see on the horizon many signs right here in America where persecution is going to come to America. And it's already here to a degree, and I believe will be on the increase. If ever we needed to get back in our prayer closets just now, if ever we need to get back and restore the altar back in the house of God again, it is now. Let's get rid of some of the lights and the shows that goes on in the church today, and let's restore the altar. Let's restore intercessory prayer. Let's seek God. Let's call on his name. Glory to God. Let's get in his tabernacle. Hallelujah. Let's get the Psalms 91 experience under the shadow of the Almighty, that no evil shall beset your house or touch you. Listen, Paul said that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. John 15:18 says that the world hate you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Listen, Jesus promised persecution. In the book of Revelation, we find the persecuted church in chapter 2, beginning around verse 8. And to the angel of the church of Samaria, write these things, saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and I know your tribulation and your poverty. But he says, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which shall suffer. You shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that ye may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thy faithful unto death. Many say, I didn't sign up to die. Are we willing to do that? Do we have enough of Christ that if need be, we give our lives for the cause of the gospel? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. I believe the church in America is going to grow up overnight. I believe there is a shock coming to the church of America. That's who I'm preaching to today, is the church in America. But I don't believe we have any idea what's coming down the road. But those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Men will wax worse and worse. They will deceive and being deceived. Matthew 3:12 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat unto the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. The separation of the tares of the wheat. That the word of God says, for a time and a season, that the tares will grow up with the wheat, and they'll even look like wheat and act like wheat and talk like wheat, but they will not possess. They will have a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I refine thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The furnace of affliction. In other words, suffering is going to be on the increase for those who claim the name of Jesus. Job 23:10 says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The Bible says, rejoice when you are tempted with all divers and manners of temptations. The Bible says, don't get weary in well doing. It's time to be established in the things of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to lay aside every weight that so easily beset us and keep us from our goal. The Word of God says, he said, leaving those things that are behind, pressing toward the high. Pressing is the key word, toward the high mark of the high calling. In other words, it might take some effort. Glory to God. We're going to have to seek him more than just a couple hours on Sunday or an hour on Wednesday night. Walking with him is going to have to be a lifestyle. He says, my sheep know my voice. We need to hear his voice in the world today, in a world where there are many voices. And the only filter for those many voices is the Holy Spirit of an almighty God, which gives us spiritual discernment of what is right and what is wrong. And through his word, we will filter what is coming our way. Jesus said, many will come in my name, saying, lo, I am here, and lo, I am there. We are human beings. We're like water or electricity. We take the path of least resistance. But resistance is coming. Resistance is coming. We talked about the church at Smyrna. The Word of God declares that the pastor was Polycarp. And he was denounced to the government. He was arrested and tried for one thing, being a Christian. Now, this is recorded in history. When his counsel urged him to save his life by cursing Jesus Christ, he replied, for 86 years I have served him, and he never did me wrong. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me? History declares they lit a fire around him, and the fire would not engulf him or burn him, and they finally had to run him through with a spear, and they killed him. The Bible says in Matthew 5:11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Are we ready? Are we truly ready? Are our churches united? The Bible says, like a three-stranded cord that is impossible to break, that we encourage one another with the Word of God, that the spirit of gossip and backbiting and nitpicking in the house of God, don't you think the enemy will use that as a point of weakness for the days that are coming? The Bible declares that a house divided will not stand. We're going to need one another. We are not separatists. We are one body. I know. We've done everything in the church to separate ourselves, either by the name over the door, the denomination, the doctrine, collar, whatever it might be, race. We have done everything we can to separate the body of Christ. But he said, I will have my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it which I have established. He has his church, his true church. Now, the Word of God declares in the last days that there'll be an apostate church who will follow the false prophet. who will follow the false prophet, who will announce the great political leader that is coming on the face of the earth, a man that says he has all the answers. And the Bible says if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that you will be deceived by this spirit, because the men of old spoke and said this spirit is already here and operating and is vibrant in the earth. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the god of this world has them blinded. This is where we are at. We are at a junction. We are at a crossroads. The Word of God declares that choose you this day whom you will serve. And I like to tell you, it's going to get easier to serve God, but I don't think it's going to get easier. I think our faith is about to be tried like it's never been tried. Our priorities are going to change in the church in the months and the days to come. We haven't seen anything yet. John 15:18-21 says, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world will hate you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They are ignorant of the things of God. They have not knowledge of God. They choose not, the Word of God declares, to retain God in their knowledge. And for this reason, the Word of God declares, he shall turn them over to a reprobate to do that which is not convenient, the Word of God says. John 15:22 said, if I had not come and spoken unto you, they had not but had sinned, but now they have no cloak for their sin. This is what the preaching of the gospel does, and this is what we are mandated to do, is to preach the gospel in a non-compromising fashion to all social classes, to all financial classes, to all of the world, the Bible says. The word of the living God needs to be preached. Men and women of God need to get behind the pulpits and pray in their prayer closets that the fire of God comes upon them and they would relate the word. And there would be warnings coming from the pulpit. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Because pressure is coming. When pressure comes, just like a piece of coal, when it's pressured, it becomes a diamond. Our persecutions and the trying of our faith will work for our, the Bible says in John 16:1-4, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, out of the churches. Yea, the time comes that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time come, ye may remember that I told you them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning because I was with you. He said, for the sake of religion, they will kill you. I think that might be going on today. In John 17:13-18, Jesus praying to the Father, he said, now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil that's in the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them, which means separation, through thy truth. The truth, the word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also sent them into the world. Go ye into the world and preach you the gospel. Mark 4:17 says, read this again, persecution comes for the word's sake, and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time afterward when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So our answer today is Psalms 91. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Are we ready for what is coming down the road? Are we ready for the persecution that Jesus prophesied and promised would come? When he says in his word that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Pastor Saeed Abedini held to his faith under unspeakable tortures, tortured for his faith, martyred for his faith. Every one of the disciples were martyred for their faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, except for one, and John died a natural death, but history declares he was boiled in oil three times and put on an isolated island called Patmos where he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus told Thomas, he said, feel my scars, see my scars, look at my hands, look at my feet. And he says, how much harder will it be for those to believe who have not seen me? So we live by faith. The just shall walk by faith. Keep hold of your faith. Believe that there's nothing impossible with God in these pressure-packed times in which we live. The song they sang when I was a young child in revivals, in times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. And this anchor holds and it grips that solid rock. And that anchor is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the anchor of our soul. Our faith that will be tested and tried. Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan seeks to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. He said, that your faith fail not, and when you are restored and converted, he said, help your brethren. Give a helping hand in these last days. The Bible declares those that are more spiritual, so to speak, need to restore those that are weaker. If we say we are mature Christians, then let's help somebody along the way, because this is not about us. This is about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and lifting him up in these last days that all men might be drawn unto him. We are going to need him in a mighty way. Business is not going to be as usual in the days to come. We need to have a watchman on the wall sound the warning that these things are coming. Warn the people. Pray for the people. Bid them come in. Go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in under the shadow of the Almighty is where we need to abide and get as many people as we can to abide there with us. Reach out like we've never reached out. Let's evangelize. Jesus told the church at Ephesus, he said, you have lost your first love, and that first love was evangelism. Going into the highways and the byways and compelling them to come in. Let the Spirit and the bride says come. Listen, gimmicks that are out there today to get people in churches will not last. The Spirit and the bride says come. Let the Spirit draw them. Preach the uncompromising word, which he said will not come back void, but will do that which I have sent it to do. He sent his word and he healed them. Let us do our part. Let us receive strength from the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, the one that comes alongside to help us and guide us and lead us and comfort us into all truth and all righteousness. We're not here by accident. We are a generation chosen. In these days, we are about to the end of this age. Things are wrapping up, and we need to be the church without spot and without wrinkle. That doesn't mean we're righteous, but we claim the righteousness of Jesus Christ and put him at the forefront. Put him as the priority. He purchased the church with his own blood, and he's still the chief cornerstone, and he's still head of the church. Not churches, church, one body, one baptism, one Lord. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, won't you accept him into your heart? If you're lukewarm, won't you repent? The Bible says, he says, repent, do your first works over unless I come and remove the candlestick. He says, my spirit will not always strive with man. How we need to bolster one another, how we need to encourage one another in these last days. Get out of our selfish mode. It's not all about us all the time and us four and no more. We're set to evangelize the world, our areas, whether we are placed, we are set there to evangelize and preach the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by which no other name under heaven can a man be saved, except it be through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way and I am the truth, and no man comes unto the Father except it be through me. Father, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that you said it would not come back void, and we've done our best today, Father. And I ask you to bless it, bring forth your fruit, that you might receive praise, that you might receive honor, that you might receive glory. You see every need of every individual today. You see those that need saved, those that need delivered, addictions that need to be set free, sicknesses in body, Lord, financial problems, Lord, a mental oppression, a depression, which you said you was chastised for a peace of mind, and by your stripes were you healed, and you sent your word and you healed them. And you so loved the world that you sent your only begotten Son, that we need not perish, but that we might receive everlasting life. I thank you for your word today, Lord. I thank you for your strength, Father. Now order our footsteps like you said you would do, Lord. Be a lamp unto our feet and light unto our path in these days to come. Give us discernment, Father. Let us know what we need to do, because this is all about you. And your word says you're soon coming back after a church without spot and without wrinkle. And the Bible declares you will rule from the holy city of Jerusalem with a rod of iron, because the scepter shall not depart from the tribe of Judah. You said, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Until tomorrow, may God bless each and every one of you.
This has been Truth in God's Word Radio with Pastor Jim Newsom. Our email address is truthintheword777@gmail.com. Word of God declares, look up, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming very soon. Until next time, may God bless each and every one of you. And the meek shall inherit.